I'm Tom Hall. Welcome to Midday. 5 years ago, Alicia Garza helped create Black Lives Matter. Now her focus is the Black Futures Lab, taking the pulse of African-American communities, building political power for people of color, and challenging policymakers. One of the group's initiatives is the Black Census, which aims to better understand the diversity of opinion in the Black community and to use that information to help improve the ways in which those communities are served. Alicia Garza joins me from Oakland. But first, we continue our series of conversations with the candidates. Joining me here in Studio A, Anjali Reed Fukan, the Republican nominee for Maryland Comptroller. She's trying to unseat incumbent Peter Franchot in November. We'll hear what this CPA has to bring to the position of the state's top fiscal officer. Midday starts right after these headlines. Good afternoon and welcome. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for being with us. Today, we continue our series of conversations with the candidates. The general election is November 6th, which is 16 weeks from yesterday. My guest is Anjali Reed Fukan, the Republican nominee for Maryland Comptroller. She is running against the incumbent, Democrat Peter Franchot, who was first elected as the state's fiscal chief in 2006. Ms. Fukan is an auditor for the state of Maryland. She works for the Maryland State Lottery and Gaming Control Agency in the Compliance Division. She was born in Washington, D.C. and raised in Montgomery County. She now lives in Ocean City. She is 39 years old. She has undergraduate degree from Trinity Washington University in Washington, D.C. in both accounting and environmental ethics. She holds two master's degrees, an MBA focused on finance and a master's in information systems. Ms. Fukan is also a certified public accountant. She became a Republican on the same day that she filed to run for comptroller. Before that, she was an independent, including in 2016 when she ran unsuccessfully for the school board in Montgomery County, where she was living at the time. This is her second bid to become the state's comptroller. She ran as a write-in candidate in 2014. Ms. Fukan, welcome to the show. It's nice to meet you.
It's nice to meet you, too. Thank you.
We are streaming our conversation here from Studio A on the WIPR Facebook page. If you have a question for Anjali Reed Fukan, our phone number here at Midday, 410-662-8780. Our email, midday@wipr.org. And to drop us a tweet, @MiddayWIPR. So a couple questions. The first is, why do you want to be the comptroller? And the second is, why should voters want you to be the comptroller?
I want to bring fiscal conservativeness to the state. I want to increase transparency in the general ledger, making it usable and accessible to see the spending. I also want to increase efficiencies across the state. The Constitution of Maryland says that the comptroller should make recommendations to improve the budget and improve spending. And I think part of that is auditing agencies more. I think that the comptroller's office doesn't audit agencies enough. So that's part of my agenda as well. And there's in terms of taxes, I know that the General Assembly has to decide on changes to taxes, but I do want to advocate for less. And I definitely want to do, and this is totally in my realm, is to improve the Offer and Compromise program in Maryland. Franchot had an amnesty. He does random amnesty periods. And I want to revamp the entire Offer and Compromise system in Maryland. And then also, and this goes into the transparency and usability, I want to have a more seamless communications with like auditors, tax preparers. The IRS has a system where you can look at transcripts online for your clients and to do something so you can do online transcripts in Maryland. And there's a whole slew of other things that are on the agenda to make the state records more transparent and more efficient.
Why do you personally want to change your job from the audit division of the state to be the comptroller? What about this position and elective office? This is your third time seeking elective office. What is it about elective office that appeals to you personally?
being in service to others is my number one priority in life. I believe that I should be giving back to my community. And I see that we hire politicians to be the comptroller, and that needs to stop. We should have certified public accountants. Random fact, the Constitution of Maryland was created before the certified public accountancy exam and everything that goes along with that was formalized and respected in America. The Attorney General has to be a member of the bar and a practicing lawyer, but the Comptroller of Maryland doesn't. There's no requirements. And I think that if the Constitution of Maryland was created 30 years later, that might be there.
Okay,
and
so
that,
Mr. Franchot is not a CPA, and
not.
You are. He's a lawyer.
He's a politician.
He's a lawyer, and he's been in the legislature, and he's also been in this job for a long time, 12 years.
We have an F in a lot of report cards from a lot of very reputed organizations. U.S. News has given us failing grades, public interest.
Failing grades in what?
If I can go, I would have to go to my notes, but there's like the roads are bad. U.S. News did a report about different states across the country, and we have bad traffic, bad roads and infrastructure. Transparency is bad.
And you're placing that at the feet of the comptroller.
The comptroller does sit on the Board of Public Works,
and
which is roads,
right? Do you have a sense when you talk about transparency, for example?
Yes.
Some of the things I hear you talk about when you outline the things that are important to you are things that, to tell you the truth, I've heard before from other people running for office. Everybody's favorite, one of people's favorite topics in your position is waste, fraud, and abuse, getting rid of corruption and getting rid of things that are not working either efficiently or even sometimes legally. You seem to be concerned about that. Can you give us some examples of how the system here in Maryland is not running with integrity?
I'm not going to go into integrity because a certified public accountant will like audit books and we're kind of under the assumption that people are being honest. And sometimes we find things and people might be lying, but it wasn't the intent of a public accountant to do that. Certified fraud, CFA, I think it's certified fraud analyst or auditor. They're the people that are going in when you doubt people's integrity. So I don't doubt people's integrity. Like, I think Peter Franchot has a heart. I hate people that come on to shows. And I heard earlier today somebody was talking about somebody but with a heart or whatever. I don't doubt anybody on this planet has a heart. Whether or not somebody is best suited for a position is a different topic.
And you're better suited than Mr. Franchot for what reasons specifically?
I think I'm suited. I'm not going to say that I am better or worse than other people. I don't like to cast judgment.
And is the issue of transparency, in your estimation, a real problem in the state of Maryland? Are there things?
Yes.
What things don't the voters of Maryland know about their budget or about the fiscal situation in our state that they should know?
Okay, transparency. Their report cards. Just going over report cards. And I can't remember if it's U.S. PIRG or the Public Integrity. .org, but there was a...
Well, let me suggest, if you can't remember, then let's not talk about it.
Okay,
because you have a specific claim to make, that's fine, but
I'm pretty sure it's U.S. PIRG, but it was a report card was B overall for the state, but then there was like a failing grade for the Northeast.
What grade do you give it? What do you see as you look at the fiscal situation in light of the issue of transparency, which you've raised? Where do you see problems with transparency in our... In the state of Maryland, in the comptroller's office.
Okay. In terms of being able to look at expenditures, the state has a website that you can try to look at things, and it's not easy to search. It's not very easy to aggregate data across maybe specific functions or organizations or object classes. And then in terms of your accountant being able to pull up your transcripts, like there's not the transparency there that there is with the IRS to be able to pull up transcripts on people.
So how would you change it? What would be different about that website if you were elected?
So there are system changes that are necessary in the comptroller's office. There are still mainframes being used there. There's COBOL programming.
And you're suggesting those are out of date?
Yes.
Okay, so what should they be revised to? What would you do? Is this an information IT structure problem?
Yes, there's an IT structure problem in the state of Maryland in the Comptroller's office. And to say what needs to be changed, part of this would need either white paper requests from people to, for people who don't know about white papers, it's where other groups, other businesses might propose what they would recommend, or to do a public solicitation for contractors to recommend what they would do to change the to do their offer to the state, to put out an open bid. And so I don't want to say, oh, a specific company.
But that's, of course, how the process would
right,
work.
Right, exactly. So I don't want to say, oh, we should get this elected. Product from. And I know a lot of companies, because I take continuing professional education credits. That's part of being a CPA, is that we're constantly having to learn. And so a lot of these companies do CPEs to continue my education. And I don't want to say these companies right now, because I don't want to be biased towards anyone. So we would need to do an open bid for what
but of course that's how it works for anything the state
how it actually happens is different sometimes.
In what way
people can have a closed bid, people can do a sole source for something without actually doing an open bid, and that's where you start getting into like, this wasn't really done exactly the way the state should be doing things.
But that's a claim. Say again, I'm really uncomfortable with you or anybody else in your position
yes.
making a claim that is unsubstantiated. I mean, the state of Maryland purchases stuff on behalf of the state.
Right.
And it's an open bid process. The Board of Works meetings are open meetings, right?
Right.
I mean, are you saying that it's common practice for the people in Annapolis behind closed doors to award contracts to people without a proper bidding practice?
Because no.
Okay,
I'm not saying that it's common practice. I'm saying that it does happen, and it doesn't happen just in Maryland. It happens everywhere sometimes. When you just said that's the way it happens, I'm just saying that isn't always how it happens anywhere.
I can't.
I'm an auditor. I've seen great companies do awful things, and I've seen small companies do great things, and everything in the middle.
Yeah, those are companies, and we're talking about the state. So let's talk a little bit about political party. You registered as a Republican on the day that you filed to run as a Republican as comptroller.
Yes.
What does political party mean to you? What is the difference between being a Democrat and a Republican in this particular context?
I think that what I think is a little bit lighter than what some people have very deep passions for their parties. My mom is a very, very passionate Democrat. And then I've met some very, very passionate Republicans in this past year. I think that it means being conservative in my spending for being a Republican. I think it means holding some values to how I behave. Like George Bush didn't drink alcohol, and neither does Donald Trump, and I don't drink alcohol. And so, you know, I thought that I would also do better as a Republican, and they would be more accepting of the fact that I don't drink.
All right, we're going to take a little break. We'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more about some other stuff. Anjali Reed-Fukan is the Republican nominee for Maryland Comptroller. She is trying to unseat incumbent Democrat Peter Franchot in the general election coming in November. Ms. Fukan is a CPA and an MBA. She works on the Eastern Shore as an auditor for the state of Maryland. By the way, speaking of the Eastern Shore, a reminder for our listeners in Chestertown, we'll be broadcasting midday from Chestertown on Tuesday, July 31st from historic Sumner Hall. Come to WIPR.org for a link to information about that special event and to reserve your seat if you'd like to join us as part of the live audience again on July 31st. Quick break and then more with Anjali Reed-Fukan. We'll take your calls and comments at 410-662-8780, our email midday@WIPR.org, our Twitter handle @MiddayWIPR, and we are streaming on the WIPR Facebook page. Stay with us.
This is your public radio, 88.1 WYPR.
And Welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. By the way, coming up tomorrow on our program, Enoch Pratt Free Library CEO Heidi Daniel will be my guest. She'll share a few picks for our summer reading lists. Plus, theater critic J. Wynn Russick will review Ain't Too Proud. That's a new musical about the Temptations at the Kennedy Center. So that's all coming up tomorrow on Midday. Coming up a little later today, a conversation with one of the founders of the Black Lives Matter movement, Alicia Garza, has a new initiative called the Black Futures Lab. We'll learn about that coming up shortly here on Midday. Now, back to our conversation with Angelique Reed Foucan. She's my guest for this latest installment in our Conversations with the Candidates series. Ms. Foucan is the Republican nominee for Maryland Comptroller. She's running against Democrat incumbent Peter Francho. Our phone number here on Midday, 410-662-8780. Our email, midday@wypr.org, to find us on Twitter at @MiddayWYPR. And you can also follow us on the WYPR Facebook page where we are streaming live. So Ms. Foucan, Dave on Facebook says, you criticize Mr. Francho for being a politician, yet this is your third run for elective office. Are you not a politician?
I didn't criticize him for being a politician. He is a politician.
You said that the comptroller shouldn't be a politician. Why not?
The comptroller is your chief fiscal officer. They should really be an accountant, because your fiscal officer is your top accountant. Your top accountant for the state of Maryland should be an accountant.
So what does the word politician mean to you? Because should the comptroller be an elected official? It's not in all states. In some states, it's not
in all states, yes.
Yeah. So what do you think? Is it a good idea for Marylanders to elect their comptroller, or should that person be appointed by somebody?
I think it should be elected. I think that maybe a nonpartisan race is something that we should consider. However, what I ran...
I'm sorry, what does that mean, a nonpartisan race?
So, like, Board of Education is nonpartisan, officially. But then behind the scenes, it really isn't nonpartisan.
You're talking about Republicans and Democrats?
Right. So Board of Education in Montgomery County, for instance, you run not as a Democrat or Republican. There's just everybody who wants to run can run. And then they... pick the top two, and then the top two run for the office in the general election. So you can have two Democrats running against each other in the Board of Education.
So both you and Mr. Francho ran unopposed in the primary in June. So you're running against each other. I mean, you were the top two by merit of the fact that nobody else ran. So what's the difference between the election you're in and the election that you're imagining?
So in a nonpartisan race, and so, like I said, I'm not 100%, because of what I saw when I ran as a nonpartisan in Board of Education, it really is partisan behind the scenes to some degree, that I could be a Democrat and Peter Francho could be a Democrat in a nonpartisan race, and we still could face each other in the general election. Whereas in like in Montgomery County, like they just had a lot of heated races, and their races are at the end. And then, like in Worcester County, where I'm from, the races are at the end, and they were heated Republican races. Whereas in a nonpartisan...
Right, and there are even states like California who do that. They sometimes refer to them as jungle primaries, the two top vote getters. Yeah, but back to this notion of politicians shouldn't be the comptroller. What about, because there is a cynicism out there about politics in general and about politicians in particular. The approval ratings for people who serve in the United States Congress have stayed at historic lows for years now. Why is it that politics has become this dirty business? What is so wrong about being a politician?
I think it's become one. I think it has been probably since the dawn of time. And I think part of this is because emotions get involved and people have hurt feelings, and then people retaliate towards other people because of their hurt feelings. I've seen this in the past year, and I've felt it. Politics drains you. It sucks the life out of you. In the exact same conversation you have with somebody where they are totally supporting you, then they can come out and say something really awful and something personal, and then they're still supporting you. It is literally a roller coaster interacting with people sometimes.
What is your experience as a manager? Because as the comptroller, were you to be elected, you'd be managing a large organization.
I don't have a lot of management experience, I'm not going to lie to you. Having said that, I'm not going to be the day-to-day manager of a lot of individual sections. And there are people that I do plan on bringing on board that do have a lot of experience managing people. I like Bill Campbell. He was the Republican nominee in the last election cycle, and I hopefully will be bringing him on board. And there's a few other people that I don't want to mention because they do have jobs now, and they are managing people and so on, and so I'm respecting them.
So let me also then ask you what your political experience is and whether or not you think that that's important, because this is a political position. It's an elective office.
Yes.
And the comptroller does, as you say, serve on the Board of Estimates with the treasurer and the governor, and negotiates things with those two people as members of the Board of Estimates, as well as with people in the legislature. Mr. Francho, for example, very much concerned with the micro craft brewery business. The comptroller's office regulates alcohol, and he's gotten very involved in political arguments and political causes and advocacy for people who are small craft brewers. So it is a political position, whether or not it should be.
I don't think beer should be part of the comptroller's office.
Well, it is. And Mr.
Francho,
there's lots of people who don't think Mr. Francho should be involved in political policy. But
is
that
something?
Because you said, well, we want to reduce taxes. You know, now there isn't a person in the world who would rather pay fewer taxes. But to make that blanket statement, what does that mean? What does that mean? You want to have fewer services? And if you want to reduce taxes, wouldn't that involve your having a political conversation with people in the legislature?
Yes, I would have political conversations with people in the legislature. But I also would have a policy analyst or a policy specialist involved in the comptroller doesn't do everything. There are other people involved.
Exactly, which is why when you say that it shouldn't be a politician, it should be a CPA. What would you as a CPA bring to that position that the current comptroller doesn't?
Well, for instance, when we talk about the casino money and it not going to where it needed to go, the comptroller really should have set up trust funds, or putting the money into trust with the state, setting up the funds correctly, and that didn't happen in partly because, I'm trying not to judge Peter Francho. Like, this isn't me attacking him. I'm just saying that an accountant at the top, when seeing legislation, would, you know, jump right to how do we make the chart of accounts correct? How do we make all the classifications in the accounting system correct to best reflect the intent of a law that's passed?
And you don't believe they're correct now?
If they were correct, we wouldn't hear all this talk about having a lockbox now. This would have been done a while ago.
And in terms of Mr. Francho's relationship to the governor, there are people in the Democratic Party, his party, who lament the fact that he appears to be pretty closely aligned with the governor. He says that it's a good idea to be bipartisan and work across the aisle. Do you know Mr. Hogan? Do you have any relationship with him at all?
I see him at some Republican events, and he's nice to me. I'm nice to him. We're not best friends.
Is it a plus or a minus for the comptroller and the governor to either get along or be in opposition to each other?
I think that a comptroller should be neutral. I am an auditor, and I have to be separated from the people that I'm auditing in general. And your top comptroller for the state is supposed to audit agencies recommending changes to the budget and spending. That the comptroller shouldn't be best friends with the governor. The comptroller also shouldn't hate the governor. I have no hate or buddy, best buddy feelings for either Ben Jealous or for Larry Hogan. I think that they both have, you know, their traits. I am a Republican. I have a Hogan sticker on my car. And, you know, if he wins, that's great for the party. But when it comes to criticizing him, I'm not going to be afraid of criticizing him. But I'm not going to hate him or anything like that.
Anjali Reed Fukan is the Republican nominee for Maryland Comptroller. Ms. Fukan, it's nice to meet you. Thanks for coming in.
Nice to meet you, too. Thank you.
All right. Before we go to a break, we want to note the passing of a local man who drew national attention last January when he encountered a mentally ill woman who had been released from the University of Maryland Medical Center. Imamu Baraka came to the woman's aid on a cold winter night. He filmed a good bit of that encounter, and when the video went viral, it led to a national conversation about how hospitals and and others treat patients with mental illness. Imamu Baraka, who himself was a counselor, appeared on Midday a few days afterwards to talk about his experience. Mr. Baraka's sister, Charisse Green, confirms that her brother died of cancer last Thursday. Imamu Baraka was 47 years old. Quick break, and when we return, Alicia Garza will join me. She's one of the founders of the Black Lives Matter movement. She now leads the Black Futures Lab, an organization that seeks to build political power for people of color. I'm Tom Hall. You're listening to Midday. Stay with us.